Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go right in on this. We're going to talk about tattoos. We're going to talk about marking your body and how we're entering into an agreement through being tattooed. And look, I have plenty of tattoos myself, as you can see. So I'm not speaking on this from the outside looking in, but I'm speaking on this from personal experience. And I want you to know the dangers of being tattooed, what the scripture says about it, because we have to go back to the scriptures on everything that we're speaking about when it comes to God. Everything that we're thinking on, everything that we're living out, we need to go back to the scriptures to find the truth on the matter. Amen. So let's go into this. And I feel led to speak about this because I see so many Christians getting tattooed now, and I see the dangers. I see the spiritual connection. I see the spiritual bondage that's been taking place and has taken place in my life. So I really want to teach you on this topic. I really want to speak to you on this topic. So I hope that you hold on and that you continue to watch until the end on this. So as we all know, tattoos have become very popular. And I feel the need to clarify what God states in His Word. But I also like to share my experiences with tattoos, with being tattooed, as I have quite a few. So before we go into the scripture, let's pray quickly. Father, I just pray that you illuminate your word and reveal what the enemy has attempted to conceal. I pray that again and again, because the enemy many times has placed blinders on us that we can't see what is there in the spiritual realm that's trying to oppress, that's trying to attach, that's trying to come in to rob, kill, and destroy. Lord, open our eyes and help us to see what your word states regarding tattooing. Our bodies, marking our bodies, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's start off by turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. And it says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So that's the main point here. You are not your own. Amen. We are not our own. When we give our lives to Christ, we're laying down our lives. We're taking up our cross. We're following Him. So our body is not our own any longer. So I think this scripture is a good place to start. I really do. As believers, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you should know that if you are a believer, if you're a brand new believer, you should have definitely been taught that by now. Our bodies have become temples of the Holy Spirit. For those who aren't believers out there watching this, you may not be a part of the family of God yet, but you are created by God. You're a creation of God, and there's purpose. There's purpose for you. There's identity for you. If you would place your faith in Jesus, you can become a son or a daughter of the Most High King. Hallelujah. Son or a daughter of the living God. And I pray that that's what happens for you. I pray that the Holy Spirit just comes in and draws you to Jesus. I believe that Jesus has already been speaking to you. He speaks to us in so many different ways through His Word, absolutely, but also through signs and wonders, signs that we see in nature, people, you know, in different ways, speaking different phrases or speaking to you about Christ in different ways throughout your life, throughout your everyday life. And God will, He'll reach us in so many different ways, but I believe that Jesus, and He does, He comes into our lives in ways that we least expect, and He begins to woo us. He begins to reveal His love in many ways, shapes, or forms. So anyway, let's get back to the topic. So we are all created for a purpose, and I say that to believers and unbelievers. God has created you for a purpose, so if you feel depressed, if you feel down on yourself, You know, maybe you're even contemplating suicide. I've been there. God has a purpose for you. He has a destiny for you. But you're not going to know. You're not going to know what that destiny is until you've placed your faith in Jesus. And then God can come in and he can make you alive from the inside. He can make your spirit alive. And then he can show you, he can reveal to you what your identity and purpose is in this life. How can a creation know what to do without its creator? Amen. It's like having a car without an engine or a car without an instruction manual on how to use it. We need to know from our creator what our purpose truly is. So we're all created for a purpose, and I say that specifically for those who feel lost right now, those who are searching for the reason that they exist. And I think we've all been there as believers. We've all been to that place where we feel like we've been broken, we've been hurt, we've been, you know, just run through the wringer. I've been to that place where I was filled with pain, filled with anger, filled with depression and just all those things that wanted to take me out. But Jesus met me in that place and he showed me he had been pursuing me all along. He had been chasing me down, and then he just encountered me with his love. And when you experience that perfect love of Jesus, it's a selfless love. When you encounter it, you're never the same. And I want you to encounter it. I just pray right now that any person that's watching, any person that's listening, would encounter the perfect love of Jesus, hallelujah, right now. Lord Jesus, release your power, your peace, your perfect love, and your virtue to cancel out all depression, all fear. Break addictions, Lord. Break down bondage. In Jesus' mighty name, O God. Thank you, Lord. So each one of us can begin to understand our identity by understanding who created us and why he created us. So God wired us for relationship. He wired us for love. For so many of us, we've been scarred by traumatic events. We've been betrayed and we've been lied to. We've been disappointed and frustrated time and time again. Maybe you even feel hopeless, but I want you to realize that I started speaking by saying us, because I used to feel the same way. Before I understood that Jesus had been pursuing me all of my life, I felt like I was better off dead, just to be completely honest with you. I felt like I couldn't take the torment anymore of the depression and the anxiety and the cycles that I would go through. So I want to be completely real with you. I wanted to take my own life until I locked myself in a room for a couple of days and just cried out to God until he showed up and he poured out his Holy Spirit in my life. It felt like living water was being poured into me and it broke off all the chains. It's real. Hallelujah. It's real. Believe and receive tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Believe that he is real. Believe that he can break off every chain. Believe that he can break those burdens off. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. By his Spirit. His Spirit can fill you and empower you and allow you to do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. That's why we need God. We need him to restore us, to forgive us for the sins we've committed, but we also need him to empower us to live out lives we wouldn't otherwise. So when I understood that Jesus laid down his life so I could be forgiven and that I could have a relationship with God, my creator, it changed everything. It changed my perspective. It changed my life. It changed my motivations. I pray that through this message, you'll discover not only your purpose, but your identity and destiny in Christ. That's what it's all about, our identity and destiny. Without knowing your destiny, without having a vision, you shall perish. You'll perish, the Bible says, because you'll have no reason to get up every morning. You'll have no reason to even live out your life if you don't know who your creator is and what he's called you to do. So now back to the scripture. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. God created them and therefore has the right to tell us how we should treat our bodies. Amen. There are some things that are obvious to us with regard to what we shouldn't be doing with our bodies. We shouldn't be putting drugs or alcohol into them. We shouldn't be committing adultery. We shouldn't be engaged in gluttony or abuse. Those things are kind of obvious. Why are people so confused about tattoos? It has a lot to do with the hyper-grace movement. There's two main reasons that I'm going to talk about here. The hyper-grace movement, which teaches that since we're under grace, all things should be permitted for a Christian. And number two, and the other teaching that has been prevalent in Christian circles, is that being tattooed is permitted by the Bible because the Bible only forbids marking your body for the dead. So let's take a look at the scriptures that address these two topics and draw our conclusion after careful study and examination of the true meaning behind what's written here. So 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says this, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Some versions say, not all things are profitable. So this scripture is taken out of context often as believers use it to justify sinful actions and behaviors. But if you read this scripture in context, you'll see that it's not justifying sin at all. It points out an attitude that the Corinthians had toward eating food sacrificed to idols. If you really go in and read it in context, I would suggest that you take the time to read through that entire chapter. And after doing so, you'll understand that some of the Corinthians were consuming food sacrificed to idols, And they were saying it was lawful for them because all things were permissible for them. They were partakers of the food, sacrificed to idols because they felt that they were entitled to do it regardless of the situation. So the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us and fill us with supernatural peace. But the issue here has more to do with a lack of self-control. Okay, that's what it comes down to, a lack of self-control, them wanting to feed their stomachs more than obeying God. So God wants us to be at peace within. He doesn't want us to live out our days in a paralyzing fear. That's not the fear of God. The fear of God is an empowering fear to where we revere God to the point where we're empowered and motivated to live out His commands and not to sin against Him because of the love that He's shown us. But He does want us to have a reverence for Him, a great reverence for Him, as we are mindful of who we're influencing, namely unbelievers and believers with weaker faith, a faith that is not the same as ours. So Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. So how are we then loving our neighbor if we're not thinking about how our actions will impact them? Now let's turn to Romans 6:15. Romans 6:15. Thank you for those who are joining and listening in on this and watching. So Romans 6:15, and it says this, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. God has not given us a license to sin because we are no longer under the law. Just because we're no longer under the law doesn't mean we get to go around doing whatever we want, whether it offends God or people or not. So we no longer live under the old covenant. We live according to the new covenant in Christ's blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for sending your Son to lay His life down on the cross, to shed His own blood. We thank the Lord for that. But it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. Because of the establishment of the new covenant, the Holy Spirit causes us to obey God's commands. It empowers us to live out God's commands. Ezekiel 36:27 backs this up by saying, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Okay, so with this verse in mind, let's consider what God requires of us. So His Spirit leads us to walk in His statutes if we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. But if we choose to submit to the selfish desires of our flesh, we'll resist the very Spirit that has the power to align us with God's will and heart. The very nature of God's Spirit is that of love, long-suffering, hope, joy, and peace. Against such there is no law. The Spirit of God would never lead us into sin, but instead He teaches us how to remain in Him, that we would produce an abundance of fruit. Hallelujah, the tree doesn't produce fruit for itself, it produces fruit for others to be nourished from. And I feel like that's a big thing we're missing today. You don't have your gifts. God has not given you gifts for yourself. God hasn't given you a gift of healing, if you have a gift of healing, to lay hands on yourself and be healed. He's given you, although that may happen, He's given you gifts of healing to lay hands on others that they would be healed. That's just an example. But many times we get it twisted and we think, or people think, you know, I have these gifts and now I'm powerful and now I can use these gifts as ever, however I see fit. But that's not the way that things go. We produce fruit and we have spiritual gifts, which is another topic completely. But we have these things, we produce these things for others to feed on, for others to be strengthened, for others to be edified. So to summarize what I've already explained about the hyper-grace movement, we should never take the grace God's given us for granted. We've been given the right to be called the children of God, but we haven't been granted the right to do as we please. Let's turn to Leviticus now, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28, Leviticus 19:28, and it says this, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord." As you can see, the scripture does point out cutting yourself for the dead. Gentile nations cut themselves for their deceased loved ones. The reason behind this is that they cut themselves to feel like they were suffering with the dead, with those people who had passed on. They wanted to suffer with them. But this scripture doesn't just talk about cutting yourself. It also goes on to talk about tattooing a mark on yourself as well. So this is where tattoos come into play here in the scripture. So God forbids these things. Why? I want to tell you something that you may not know. Leviticus also says the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. And when you're tattooed, you're not only defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is your body, as a believer, you're allowing the tattoo artist to spill your blood for the sake of vanity. What do I mean by vanity? And for those of you who respond by saying this, if you're saying, well, I didn't get tattooed for vanity, and you're saying, well, I was tattooed with something that's significant for me. I was tattooed with a cross, Alex. I was tattooed with Jesus' face. I was tattooed with a dove. You know, and I'm not trying to knock anyone. Many times we enter into sin unaware. of the ramifications, of the consequences, the agreements or covenants we're entering into with the enemy, the doors that we're opening to the enemy. And I'm not knocking you for that, but I want you to understand what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're entering into. So my response to someone who said, well, I got something that's significant to me or my faith, my response wouldn't change. If God wanted you to have a tattoo, you would have been born with one. Any alteration we make to our bodies grieves God. I want to tell you that right now. I personally have about 20 tattoos. I stopped getting tattooed when I gave my life back to Jesus in 2015. And as I recommitted my life to Jesus, I was deeply convicted about a number of decisions I had made. Among those was marking my body with tattoos. When I gave my life back to the Lord and the Holy Spirit came upon me, I remember looking at my tattoos in the mirror and the Holy Spirit convicting me and saying, no more, Alex, no more. And you may say it's a personal conviction, but if it's in the Word of God, which it is, it's not just a personal conviction. It's something that we need to be applying to all of our lives as Christians. So personally, I wanted to be tattooed for the look. When I got tattooed, in the days that I was getting tattooed, in those moments, I wanted the look. I thought they were cool. I thought they would add to the reputation I was trying to build myself, and they did have the desired effect in that season of my life. So as I think back on the times I got tattooed, and I've always been sensitive to spiritual things, even when I wasn't walking with Jesus, I can tell you that those tattoos brought me into a season of oppression that I didn't really identify or understand until after I came back to the Lord. I want every person who hears this message to understand what they're actually doing when they're getting tattooed. Every covenant or agreement in the spirit realm is entered into through the shedding of blood. When you agree to allow someone to tattoo you, you're entering into a spiritual covenant with them. The shedding of your own blood, regardless of the intention, is what seals the agreement. Okay? It seals the agreement. This is not a godly covenant, but a demonic covenant because it's rooted in sin. It's rooted in vanity. It's rooted in self-image. Aside from what the law says regarding tattoos, ask the Holy Spirit what he has to say about tattoos. Okay? You have that personal relationship with Jesus. You have that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ask him. Holy Spirit, what do you think about tattoos? How do you feel about tattoos? Are you grieved about my thoughts of being tattooed? Are you grieved by the tattoos I've already received? And God will speak to you. He'll speak to you through the Scripture. He'll speak to you through His Spirit. So again, the Scripture says, do not defile your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the Lord's vessel. You are not your own. So the same tattoo you had marked on your body could be the same mark that the enemy uses to open a portal or a door in your life. And I'm telling you, he opened doors and portals in my life through tattoos. The oppression settled on me, and I'll never forget how I felt in that moment as I was being tattooed, during each tattoo and after, in the season following. Tattoos not only open a portal for demonic powers, they cause you to form a soul tie with your tattoo artist. And some of you may be saying, whoa, you're going way too far now, Alex. You lost it, man. But I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm not playing games with this. I'm not fabricating anything. If you know about spiritual covenants, if you know about the shedding of blood, you're forming, or you have formed, a covenant agreement with your tattoo artist as you allow them. You've even signed a contract many times stating that you're 18, stating that you know the risks of being tattooed with your tattoo artist. You've entered into an agreement by signature as well, and also with blood. Until I got delivered from the demonic oppression and soul ties connected to my tattoos, I would have dreams where I would sometimes see one of my tattoo artists in my dreams many months and years later. How do you make sense of that? I entered into agreement with them, and in the spirit realm, we were still connected. It wasn't until I returned to the Lord that the Holy Spirit revealed why I was having these dreams. I had formed a soul tie through the shedding of blood, which is the strongest type of soul tie aside from a soul tie involving sexual relations. And the reason for that is a soul tie due to sexual relations is formed because two people are united in the way that they become one flesh, which should be through marriage, which only a husband and wife should be entering into. Soul ties is a completely different topic, and I can go into that at a different time. I hope that through this teaching, you've begun to understand why God warned his people about tattoos in the Old Testament and called it sin. Holy Spirit still speaks. And if you're still not convinced by what I've shared, I would challenge you again to ask the Holy Spirit. He will speak to you on the topic of tattoos. He will speak to you. If you form that personal relationship, God is going to speak to you. He doesn't want you entering into sin. He doesn't want you entering into agreements that he has already spoken against. So our God cares about each and every detail of our lives, and he will reveal what he requires of us. I can guarantee you that. For those who have already had tattoos, like I do, the first step is to repent and ask God for forgiveness for that, for those tattoos, for being tattooed. And if you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Today is the day, because tomorrow's not promised. Amen. Tomorrow is not promised. So give your life to Jesus today. He's calling you. He loves you. You may have been abandoned. You may have been lied to, betrayed by many, many people out there. Maybe your own family, but Jesus will never leave you alone. He said, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. He told his disciples that, and you can become one of his disciples and enter into the family of God. Tonight, you can be accepted. When you're accepted as a child of God, you're accepted, you're not rejected, you're in, you're not out, and you can live in that joy. So give your life to Jesus and repent of your sins, and God will forgive you. So I want to say a prayer. I want to say a prayer, first of all, for those who want to give their lives to Jesus, who feel that the Holy Spirit is drawing you in. You feel the love and the peace of God right now as we've spoken about Jesus. I want to tell you, he laid his life down at the cross. He shed his blood and took the wrath of God upon himself for our sins so we wouldn't have to pay that price. He paid the price for us. He rose from the grave. He is Lord forevermore. He's Lord over all. He has all power and authority in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And if we give our lives to him, that means we become the children of God, and we're clean. We're washed clean like a newborn baby, and we're reborn as his Spirit comes and lives within us. So first of all, say this prayer with me if you want to be saved, if you want to be a part of the family of God, if you want to know that you're saved and that you want to be reborn in Christ, say this prayer with me. And after that, I'm going to help you to walk through repentance, a repentance prayer for tattoos. So let's pray. Hallelujah. For anyone who wants to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, say this prayer with me. Father God, I thank you that Jesus is your Son. I ask you that you forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose from the grave. I believe that he is Lord forevermore. Lord, cleanse me by your Spirit and by your blood. I place my faith in you. Give me the strength and all that I need to follow you for all of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, you're a child of the King. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. But it doesn't stop there. Now, follow him. You repent, you believe, and you follow Jesus. So walk with him. Read the Word of God. Read the Bible. The Holy Bible is complete truth, 100% truth. So believe that truth. Read that truth. Pray. Pray. Talk to Jesus as your friend and get that connection with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and begin to walk with him and form that intimate relationship. Get around other people of God, fellowship with them, worship, pray, fellowship, read your word. Those are the ways that you stay connected and you mature in your faith. So let's pray. Let's repent of tattoos. And I'll do this with you. I've been through this, and I've been through being delivered, self-delivered from tattoo agreements and demonic powers that have come in through those portals. Now let's repent and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me of being tattooed, of marking my body, of body modifications. If there's any way I've modified my body, Lord, forgive me of it. Lord, I know that you created me perfect. You created me beautifully. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in Jesus' name. Lord God, break off all demonic covenants. Break all demonic covenants and agreements that I've entered into through tattoos, through piercings, through body modifications in Jesus' name. I command anything of me that has gone out into another person to come back now in Jesus' name. And anything of me that has entered into another person spiritually, I command it to come back to me. I break soul ties in the spirit because of agreements and covenants I've entered into. I'm free and delivered in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you've repented, you've gained your freedom. And you can go through that prayer again. I'm going to post this. I always post this recording on my YouTube page, Facebook, Instagram, my Spotify podcast, Apple podcast, every podcast platform. I post this again so you can go through that prayer again yourself or with friends, family members. But the main thing is repenting, asking God to forgive you of body modifications, including tattoos, and also commanding what has gone out from you spiritually into other people to come back to you. And any part of them to return to them. That way, the soul tie is broken. And this is something that people don't really speak about. Pastors and preachers don't speak about much. Some do, very few. But that's why. That's why it's so important to teach on those things that are not being taught in ministries and churches out there. But soul ties are real. Agreements, covenants with the enemy, through shedding of blood is real. I want you free right now. I'm just going to say a quick prayer of deliverance, general deliverance. Hallelujah. Every devil be pushed back. Every demonic agreement be broken right now in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood, by the power of the name, any devil that's still holding on, you have no power here. You have no right over these people. Jesus, push back darkness. Push back darkness. Break off every devil in Jesus' name right now that's still holding on. Kitobo sabayendo ramba sataramba. Freedom I declare in Jesus' name. Kitobo sabayendo rabashe torombo boshandi. Kobo sambabayendo. In Jesus' name, I declare freedom. Hallelujah. In this moment, in this hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope that you have an understanding now of what tattoos do and how they open a door to the enemy. God bless you. Stay safe and stay free.